Okay, welcome everyone. I just want to speak briefly about one of the emotions that I think characterize not slichos as much or entirely exclusively, but really this entire period. We're beginning now with greater intensity the next week, and then of course 10 days leading into Yom Kippur. In Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted a minhag that many communities still try to follow, that whoever is the chazan for slichos should be the chazan for that morning's shachars, subsequent tefillah. The question is why? What is the connection? So the most common explanation that is given, quoted by the Magen Avraham, others, the Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch, is that we have a concept in Halacha that Kol Hamaschil B'Davar, someone who starts something, Omrim Lo Gmor. A person starts a mitzvah, it's important to finish the mitzvah. Therefore, if one starts as the chazan of the slichos, they should do their best. They should be finishing what they started. On the surface, the explanation seems simple enough. But it also seems, upon some further thought, to be vulnerable to a very basic objection. This objection perhaps was authored or expressed beforehand, I'm not sure, but the earliest I know of this is Rav Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna. Great Vilna Dayan, was Chuvas called Binyan Shlomo. And the Binyan Shlomo asks a very basic question. So the whole idea of Kol HaMaschil B'Davar Omrim Lo Gmor, you start something, you should finish it, presupposes what? That it's one thing. As you start a mitzvah, you should finish the mitzvah. But Slichas have nothing to do with davening. Slichas are important. But what does slichas have to do with the obligation I have every day, including the days of slichos, but every other day of the year to daven ma'ariv, to daven shachris? I start slichos, you know, you shouldn't need, like, you know, during that last part, you know, a backup chazan. Starting slichos, okay, at least finish slichos. But what does that have to do with also being the chazan for shachris? The idea of Kol HaMaschil B'Davar Omrim Lo Gmor is true, says the Binyan Shlomo. But he questions the Magen Avraham's application of that rationale to this minhag. Why, how, is that the explanation for the need or the ideal of the same chazan for slichas and for davening? So interestingly, he gives his own explanation. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but just so you should know, he suggests that we know that especially in the Yom and the Rayim time, whether it be for Slichas and certainly for Shani Yom Kippur itself, when you look to find a Chazan or a Baal Tokea, so you're not just looking for someone who has the best voice or who can sound the best kolos, that's a certain bare minimum. But what you really want, in addition, is someone who's also a religious role model, someone who people look up to, who's well respected in the community, known for their acts of chesed, etc. So that, you know, who's schlepping the luggage? Who's our Shliach Tzibur? Who's going to fight for us in front of Hashem? So says the Binyan Shlomo, Memela, once you have that person for Slichas, so wouldn't you want that same person to be your Shliach Tzibur for Shachos also? That's what he says. That's his explanation. It has nothing to do with this idea of Kol Maschil B'Davar Omrim Lo Gmor. So I saw this year, for the first time, I actually saw quoted in two or three different places. That's how it is in learning and in other areas, I'm sure, of life as well. Where very often you come up with something you've never seen, and then in one short instance, you actually then start seeing it repeatedly. And that was an insight of Rav Soloveitchik's. So I quoted in the Masorah Journal. I saw Rav Yitzchok Sender, great Talmud Chacham from Chicago, a prolific author, who quotes it also in Rav Soloveitchik's name, and I believe I saw it a third place as well. The Rav Soloveitchik had an approach to slichos, which by definition eviscerated this complaint, this of the Shlomo HaKohen. Because very simply, it's based on the tos. According to our Salvechik, and it's hard to understand how they had such a koach, but he says, it's hard to date exactly when the minhag of slichos became so universal, but whenever it was, it redefined tefillah during these days and weeks. Whether it be our minhag or the minhag of Sfardim, we'll start even earlier. It wasn't just an independent minhag to say slichos, which is the way we typically understand it. It redefined tefillah during that time period. Tefillah now requires slichos before it. To approach Hashem this time of year, we don't just come and daven the way we do any other time of the year. We express those feelings of petition and regret and forgiveness that are part of slichos, and that becomes incorporated into davening to the extent, apparently said our Soloveitchik, that if one were to daven slichos, let's say now we're all up very late, so it's going to be hard to wake up tomorrow morning. What if you oversleep? What if you don't daven shachars? Not only is that an obvious problem because you are not going to be yotzei, you missed the mitzvah of davening shachars, says Rav Soloveitchik, in retrospect, you're not yotzei the slichos either. The slichos aren't independent. Slichos are now an addendum to davening. And therefore, the Magen Avraham makes perfect sense. Kalamasta Bulgavar Omrim Logmor. It is one integrated unit. Slichos and davening are Bachada Machta. They're all the same thing. It's an integrated expression of our yearning to Hashem. Now, as I was reading and contemplating this insight of Rav Soloveitchik, the way it spoke to me, and really in a very profound way, it spoke to me of the dominant, in a way that expresses the dominant feeling or emotion that I have, and I think many of us have, and perhaps should have, during this time of year. Whereas what that's saying is that slichos is not just something that we say. Slichos defines the period of weeks that we're now in. And when I think about, what about slichos? What is it incorporating that can be so diffuse that it spreads out and really encapsulates everything? At least for me, on an experiential level, what it expresses with great truth is the raging sense of insecurity that we feel now. The tremendous sense of almost walking on eggshells. We can't just daven the way we usually do, even assuming that that is usually well. But we're a week before Rosh Hashanah. We mentioned our Friday night. For some people, this has been a Kisavo year. Many good things have come in. And for other people, it's been a Kisese year. Things have gone out. They've lost, be it loved ones, money. And in both cases, the reality of a new year and a new judgment is staring us in the face. We just have to open our eyes and we'll see it. Who knows what that will be? Will it be as good as this past year? Will it be better? Or God forbid, will it be worse? We don't know. But what we do know is that we're dependent on it. Our future is dependent on that judgment. Our children's future is dependent on that judgment. Slichos and begging Hashem, petitioning for forgiveness in advance of this Yom HaDin, it's not just something to say. It defines our entire mentality, our entire being. it kind of takes hold of that feeling of insecurity and channels it, and we hope will be a productive way. I know that many of you, various forms of media, were following, as I was, the ceremonies and the different commemorations this past week of the 5th anniversary of 9/11. For me, 9/11 has many, many emotions that it stirs up. I've spoken on more than one occasion about its impact on me. But one of the emotions that is synonymous to me is a sense of insecurity. I spoke not that long ago at Chalashuddas about this, about what it's like, what it was like for someone to be in Manhattan at the time, to be able to look down Amsterdam Avenue and see the smoke. In the distance, I'm not a hero, I wasn't anywhere close, but it was there. It was there. And I remember in the week right afterwards, Mayor Tursky spoke at a vod in a side room in Yeshiva, and to his great credit, he, perceptive as always, put his finger right on this button, first week afterwards. He said, what this was coming to teach us, in a sense, was a valuable lesson, is the sense of insecurity that we all really feel. I was talking, if you'll recall, 5 years ago, beginning of the Intifada, there was a lot of talk then about how we shouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, it's so dangerous. People who otherwise were sending their children to Israel were not. Summer tours in Israel were being canceled. And there was a certain sense, I'll stay in New York, it's safe, I'm not going where all the bombs are. I'll never forget his line. He said, that sense, false sense, but that sense of security that we had being here, that was destroyed in the moment those planes hit that building. Because then we were reminded of something we should have known anyway, which is that our security, our safety is dependent not on where we are, but who we are, and how cognizant we are of the fact that it's all coming from Hashem. We realize that, and it doesn't matter if you're on the streets of New York or Tel Aviv or Yerushalayim. Our security comes from our faith in Hashem and hopefully His blessing to us. It was, and to me at least, I share it in a sense, the tragedy, if it had to happen, happened this time of year. Because it's the same lesson that our lives are dependent on Hashem. In the most basic sense, and even in the more general sense of blessings that we want. I alluded to this afternoon in the shir the fact that while there's good halachic basis in early and authoritative sources for the custom of blowing 60 kolos of the shofar, the last 40 are a complete mystery. Certainly if one would just be a Talmud scholar, because it's nowhere in the Gemara. And even if you knew all of the Chochmei Sfarad, you probably wouldn't know. And even if you knew some of the earliest Rishonim, you wouldn't know. Until, perhaps most notably, Tosfos quotes the Aruch. He says, why do we have this custom? Where does this custom come from to add extra 40? To commemorate, or really to counteract, the 100 cries of the mother of Sisera. Of all things, this is what, it's almost backwards. We look to the most, the lowest degradation, and that inspires us for the highest of our tears, our silent tears of the shofar. I saw something in the name of Rav Schwab, which I thought really, it hit home. Rav Schwab, like many, asked, what possible connection could there be? Looking to the mother of Sisera for inspiration, he said, it's not that we're looking for inspiration, but what was inherent, what is deeply true about her experience, as we know, as it's depicted to us, is she was volleying back and forth between two very different extremes. Right? Where is my son? How come he's not home yet? Well, perhaps it's an even greater victory than he's ever had. Perhaps he's coming home for the greatest success ever. Or perhaps he's been killed in battle. she didn't know. And her tears were not crocodile tears. The fact that she was hoping that he was just raping and pillaging, that's abhorrent. But the bottom line, it was her son. And she was crying out of a great sense of her schwab of, once again that word, insecurity. She didn't know, is my son alive or is he dead? Not only does that strike home because of the insecurity, it also reminds me of those families who had husbands and wives, sons and daughters who were working downtown on that fateful day. You couldn't get through for a while on cell phones. People didn't know who was alive and who was dead. My wife was a teacher in a school there in Riverdale. Something like 30% of the parents worked down there. And there were plenty of kids who didn't know. The school didn't know what to do. There was tremendous, tremendous insecurity. Says Rav Schwab, the AIM sister, she may not be the greatest role model for us, but her tears, they come from a very profound and true place. It's that feeling which we hope to express. A final point in closing. I think there's another dimension to our insecurity, and it's something that I mentioned 3 weeks ago, on Thursday night. And that is that so many of us find ourselves in exactly the same place, at least in certain respects, as we were last year, Motzei Shabbos of Slichus. Things that we wanted to do better, things that we sincerely regretted, one way or another, we're going to be clapping our chait for the exact same thing again. And that is a very complex phenomenon. I don't have time to address it fully here. But again, one dimension of it is it creates a sense of insecurity. What am I going to accomplish? What value is my tshuva going to be if so many other years of my life I'm saying I'll hate for things that I thought I could do better? And I don't have a great answer to that question. I've tried on that Thursday night. I suggested two answers. Now we'll just suggest, in a sense, I'm not even sure I would call it an answer, but again, a method. We give expression and we try to capitalize that insecurity with the shofar blowing. And so to here, I would say as well, what the Torah wants from us, what Hashem wants from us, is yishtad el yosish. We have to do the effort. We have to sincerely try to do it. Whether it'll be the same next year or not, I don't know. But that's already the Yetzer Hara talking. When we start thinking about what's the point, our goal is to take that emotion, that insecurity, that nervous energy, and to somehow harness it into suggesting that perhaps this year is the year. This year is the year where we're going to make commitments. We're going to keep to them. And this is the year where, based on our sense of really being connected to Hashem, really being dependent on Him, so that creates a sense of insecurity. But insecurity, like in other areas of life, can either paralyze us or it can light a flame under us and give us the charge that we need. Let us hope that as we come together tonight and will be for the next week in Rosh Hashanah, together as individuals, and as a community, we can draw strength from the tefillos, draw strength from the beautiful Baal Tefillah, and draw strength from each other as we look to harness the insecurity which we should feel, but not that it should paralyze us, but that it should give us that strength, that extra push to do better, to daven better, and hopefully in such case to merit an even better year next year.